on the day that I went into labor, my brother committed suicide. So like, it's still obviously emotional for me now, which I don't think it'll ever change, but yeah. And I think his course really prepared us to be able to handle that.
These are the stories of average people who have massively changed their lives from a Tony Robbins event. This is episode 14 of the Tony Robbins Impact Podcast. Today I'm talking with a couple, Kane Morrison and Dee Heath. This episode was actually recorded live on Facebook. If you are interested in seeing some of the episodes that I do live, you can join the page for the Tony Robbins Impact Podcast, and I've left a link for that in the show notes. So the next episode was a different episode. It was a first in many ways. I was interviewing two people and also doing it live on Facebook. So it was a first for this podcast. I'm going to be bringing you more incredible stories, and this one is no different, and I hope you enjoy it. Guys, tell me a little bit about your story, and we're going to focus really on the impact that Tony's had on your life and what sort of led you to personal development and, in particular, the work of Tony Robbins.
You can shoot first.
Okay. So, well, I'll start with, I guess, what led us to personal development. So for myself, obviously there's going to be two different stories here. But for myself, we've done probably 6 years of personal development now, varying between different people, and that was business coaching and also personal development. So we've done quite a fair bit. And for me, it was mainly I felt like there was something more. I knew when I heard someone speaking about at a personal development course, like Paul Blackburn, I did initially, and I knew when I heard him speak that I just needed to go and do his course. So I guess that's what I went and did, and it's just been so invaluable. And that's actually how Kane and I met.
Cool.
Yeah. So ironically, we went to the same school together. There's 12 years difference, even though you don't know.
I'm the younger one.
I can't tell.
So we've got 12 years different, but we went to the same school. We grew up in exactly the same area, and we ended up meeting at a personal development course. Yeah. So, which is pretty crazy. Yeah. And we've done stuff ever since, and we find that we're the best versions of ourselves. Well, I'm speaking for both of us, but we're the best versions of ourselves when we are doing coaching and when we actually have a coach. And when we can kind of get pulled up on our good or not so great behaviors at times.
Being kept accountable.
Yeah, and it's really helped with our business and also like our lives in general.
And our relationship. Like, that's probably the biggest thing that's been affected.
Yeah.
Because like, literally, we spend nearly every single moment with each other. Like, we work together. We play together. We sleep together. We have a baby together. Like, literally every single thing we do together. And I'll only speak for myself, but I love every moment of it. And there's not many people out there, or many relationships or couples out there that can actually do that. And I 100% put it down to the fact of doing self-awareness stuff and getting to know yourself, and then getting to know the other person, obviously, and being able to connect on that really deep, intimate level where literally, like, I know what's going on for Dee before she even knows what's going on for her, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So knowing each other on that level.
It's that self-awareness, isn't it? Like we can go through our lives sometimes without being conscious of our own behaviours. And, if you're both on that personal development path, that just must be huge. So when did Tony Robbins come into it? Because most people who have done personal development work have at least read one of his books, and I know you've been to one of his seminars. We'll talk about that in a minute, but how did Tony Robbins come into it, and what was specifically powerful about his message?
Yeah, so I think, well, I've been to two Tony Robbins. So I went to 2017 and 2018 UPW. And then the first UPW that I went to, it was actually really divine timing, as most of these things are. But we were overseas at the time, and we actually decided to come home early.
Early.
And the night before UPW, I actually got a message from a friend that said, "Do you want to go to UPW? I've got a spare ticket." And I jumped at the chance, and Kane didn't want to go at the time. I think partly because you were scared.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was like, hear all these, like, it's all this jumping and dancing and like blah blah blah, and just like, oh, it's just not really my comfort zone. So I'm like, yeah, you go, D, you go. I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up.
So yeah, I went in 2018, and then Kane came along in 2000 or 2018. Sorry,
Oh,
I
come
went
on. Yeah, we went
2017. He
together.
came 2018 with me, and
Did you
only
have to
because
lunch?
not
Not really.
really, not really. He was nervous as you should have seen him the day of UPW. Super nervous, like I could tell that he was uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen that often with me, but I knew with UPW it was like seriously going to be, I suppose, like this high. If anyone can see my hand, it's
Could
like
you
up here,
feel,
different.
did you feel like, because I had a similar feeling when I first went to UPW. I knew that there was some massive change about to happen, and it's almost, yeah, it's very scary. Was that the feeling?
It was actually more about, I suppose, being seen as well. Like, so, like, Dee come back the year before and she told me these things. So, like, we danced and did all this stuff. And then, like, she was just telling me all these stories, right? Which I suppose for me, like, when you're not experiencing it and it's not really a comfortable thing for you, it even amplifies it, makes it worse, right? So then I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to do this. I'm gonna have to like do, like, you know what I mean? Like, do all this stuff that I'm not really comfortable with, which I like being out of my comfort zone, but I suppose not really
He
in that
doesn't like
level of.
dancing at all.
Yes, that was my biggest
Yeah,
thing, I guess, wasn't it?
that's
So,
something you cannot get out of.
yes, exactly right. So, which it ended up being like literally exactly what I needed, obviously, as everything is. So,
Do you want to
by
talk
stepping
about your
out.
change, like I guess what you got most out of Tony Robbins?
Yeah. Start with you, Kane. So what?
So, yep.
Yeah. What, I was just going to say, like, it's very different for everyone, and sounds like there was a few things maybe coming up before it. And what were the key things that came out of it for you?
Yeah. So, obviously the biggest thing was not, like, I suppose not worrying about what people think of me, I guess, or being out there and being seen. That was probably one of the biggest things that really come up, or I left there with, because by the end of it, like, it was literally like it's a party, really. So, but I suppose in that environment, do you know what I mean? It's a little bit different, I suppose. That's how I was feeling beforehand. But then at the end of it, it's like everyone's having fun and it's a good time. So, and you've stepped through your shit, really. Like, you've worked through some stuff. I
Fears.
did have, yeah. I did have a big moment before the Dickens process. I think it was the session before that. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you'll probably remember more. But literally, like, every time we had a gratitude, because everything's about gratitude, or a lot of things are with gratitude with Tony. Every time I'd have a gratitude moment, I'd just start to cry. Like, and I didn't know, like, literally, like, every single thing I'd think about, I'd just start losing my shit. And, like, literally got to the point where I had to leave. Like, I walked out into the cafe, like, into the outside ring area. And then Dee went and got one of the team
The
members.
team members, yeah.
And,
I wasn't gonna leave him in the state that he was in. Like he kept telling me to go back
because I
in.
didn't want her to miss out.
And I think for him, what was coming up was he wasn't actually thinking that he was getting what he was meant to get. Like he wasn't work like he was filling out these workbooks and wasn't actually thinking that he was getting what he needed to from them. So he just had these really high expectations of what he's meant to walk out with. And he was really stressing about, I'm just not getting it. Like, I don't understand. And then that's
that
when
what
I
you were
was,
saying, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And that's when I went and got the helpers, and they said, don't worry.
Well,
the next part of the process.
Well, what ended up coming up was some of my mum's stuff and, I suppose, abandonment stuff and
feeling
she's like.
Watching.
She's a good, she'll be right.
so, yeah, yeah, so a, stuff related to your childhood.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah, so it was actually a recent thing. So, in the past probably 5-6 years, like, so my background, I guess, was I was always my mum's rock, and she'd always talk to me when there was issues in her relationship and everything like that. So I was kind of like the husband of the relationship, I guess. And so I guess, yeah, we had that bit of a not really
healthy
relationship and dynamic. So I always held her as support. She always held me as support, obviously. And then in the last probably 5 years, or probably 4 years ago now, four years ago, I'm like, you know what? Like, she's hurting me by, like, decisions that she's making, everything like that, which is impacting me. I'm like, you know what? I've got to just let that go and, like, not try and save her, which is what I'd done since I was, like, 5 years old, right?
Yeah.
And then I went probably about 3 years with just keeping that detachment. And then literally probably 2 months before Tony's, maybe, yeah, 2 months before Tony's, I let her back in. So I put my wall down and I let her back in, and I sort of, I guess, got attached again, which ended up not biting me in the bum, but obviously the week before Tony's happened, she then did her version of abandonment, which obviously I know that that's not what she intended, but that's what happened to me. And then, yeah, in the, before the Dickens process, when all that stuff was going on, obviously I was talking through with the coaches and everything, and they were asking me all the right questions, which is what I would have asked someone else. And I'm like, you guys are good at this.
Yeah.
And literally it was, yeah, about being like my mum always leaving and I actually have to be there for myself. So it was actually about having the power in me and not external and not worrying about and not having that attachment, I guess. So,
so that it was like an external thing. Moment. It was something you were seeking, and you was it almost like letting go for you?
Yeah, it was. Well, I think it was more so about not not letting her do that to me again. So not letting myself be in that position again, where I'm letting her in, or anyone for that fact. It's not just about my mum. My mum's obviously the main figure. So not letting her in to the point where, like, if she leaves or she does something that doesn't fit and feel right, then I'm going to be abandoned. I'm going to be like, do you know what I mean? Feel like I didn't, I wasn't cared for, blah, 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 which obviously we all get that. But
yeah,
it's a little bit of a, more of an entanglement in our the relationship, I guess. So
it was more a codependency rather than they could function on their own separate.
I think the biggest thing actually now was for me was, I always wanted to save her, right? So she come to me, and then I was thinking like, okay, yeah, she was talking to me and everything like that, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, cool, like she might actually be sort of changing and going down a different path, which isn't destructive for herself and my little brother and myself, I guess. And then, yeah, just something happened for her and it just turned around and went straight back to being a, not attacking, but yeah, being about me. So, but anyway, that's my story.
How did it, like, what happened then in the Dickens process for people listening who haven't been? It's that that process is about feeling pain in.
Yeah.
So I guess essentially a lot of us take actions that are in the short term bring us pleasure, but in the long term hurt us, like reaching for a chocolate bar or whatever example I could give you. But and then if you look 5, 10, 20 years in advance and see the destruction it's causing, that's what the Dickens process is, just for those who haven't been. So how did, so everything sort of led up to that for you?
Yeah, everything led up to that. And for me personally, I think, and this is probably an area where I might not have let myself go as far as I probably should have, but I didn't, like, obviously I got into the Dickens process, but I wasn't able to fully, like, let go and fully amplify all that pain and everything like that. And afterwards, I kind of assessed it in my own mind, I guess. And I think beforehand, when I was talking to the coaches, like, I was literally, like, I was letting go at that moment. So I was kind of working through a lot of that stuff then. Like, I guess, and it could be a bit of a cop-out, but I feel that I worked through a lot of it before the Dickens process, and the Dickens process just tipped me over. Like, it finished it off for me, because obviously I didn't finish it previously. Yeah.
I'm curious. I hope you don't mind me asking a question.
No, that's fine.
But how's it been with your mum since, I guess?
Well, you're probably better at answering that. but no, it's sort of I've established the boundaries, and I've said that this is the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to let not let you in again, but not let myself be in that position again where I'm going to potentially get hurt in that way. So boundaries are clearly set, and I don't allow myself to go over them. So she sometimes tries to seek coming into my boundaries and coming in and breaking them, but I firmly and compassionately just let her know that that's where they are.
Because so it helped with a strategy as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so D, unleash the power within. What happened?
Like, obviously I went in knowing what to expect, so there was really no surprises for me with what we do. Like, I love it every year, so I'm totally recommend it for anyone out there who's listening who hasn't been before. It's a life changer. So I think for me, like, I was 35 weeks pregnant at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably 35 weeks pregnant at the time.
She's there with not a big belly, but a belly, and she's there jumping and
That would have made things tricky, right? With
I think it's just all in your mindset, right? Like, Kane was like, now, if you get tired, you need to rest. Like, I mean it. You better tell me. but, like, literally, I think if you go in there knowing, like, or, like, setting the intention that you're going to do everything. Like, I did the firewalk. I wasn't actually planning on doing the firewalk, but I ended up doing it. I think it's whatever your intention is how it'll play out. I felt amazing the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that it was any harder than the year before, so...
Mm.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, what not just last year, but the year before, what are the sort of massive changes that have... I like to talk to people about thinking of how your life was before and how it was after, because not many people go in and don't have a massive change. So were there any, not just from last year, but from the year before, what were the sort of massive things that are in your life today, or some... tools that you use, or some mindset that you have now that you wouldn't have without Tony?
Shake that ass.
Astitude.
So I feel like the first year, I think the main one was actually around our relationship. So I walked out of there, and pretty much a week later, I pretty much said to Kane that I was leaving.
Not pretty much, she did.
Yeah.
So because I wasn't happy with how we were, like, I guess as a couple at the time.
Which we didn't really even know that was going on. Like, we didn't have any inkling. Like, we thought things were awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great.
Yeah.
So
I think that was, I think it was actually redirecting our relationship after the first one. And I feel like we really made progress, like, in that area. Obviously we made progress. We got pregnant shortly after, so
it just
made me refocus where we wanted to go together and actually feel like we were in it together and I wasn't the main driver. I think that's what was happening for me at the time.
Yeah.
And then this year, I went in with no expectations, and I think, like, it went all smoothly, but I think you take different things away each and every time. And for like a couple of months after September, October, yeah, probably like those 5-6 weeks afterwards, I was really, the year before I did the food changes. So I did change the food for like pretty much 9 months until I was about 5 months pregnant and I kind of needed a little bit more sustagen. But this time I actually did my thing that I really was avoiding like the plague. And that was the cold water showers.
Yeah.
Like in doing the cold water challenge.
Yeah.
So I definitely did that every day. And in the shower, I was saying my, like, affirmations in the shower, like with my cold water. Like I play Tony Robbins, It Smells Like Teen Spirit every morning in the shower. That was my song because it's a 5-minute song. And I was saying my affirmations. Like, and I hate cold.
Yeah. And are you still doing that now?
Well, I do it occasionally, but I have not done it.
Not consistently.
Not consistently, yeah. But I did it consistently, literally up until the birth of our baby. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, which I said to you earlier today, is so I feel like Tony Robbins really prepared us for, so just to give everyone a bit of background, on the day that I went into labor, my brother committed suicide. So... like, it's still obviously emotional for me now, which I don't think it'll ever change, but I think his course really prepared us to be able to handle that, because, like, on the day, like, we found out at 3 o'clock and then I was in labour by 8 o'clock.
So oh, my goodness.
We had planned in our head. We had planned a calm hypnobirthing that I'd been practicing for the last 5 months, and then with that thrown in the mix, it kind of went out the window a little bit. Like, it just enabled us to really be able to process our emotions, stay grateful, because you would literally look at, you'd be in the moment of, I would be in the moment of like grief,
despair.
And then I'd just look at Amara and be like, God, she's amazing. Like, how can you possibly stay in a state of grief while you've got this little one?
I think that was the hardest thing. So obviously, for Dee, it was, being able to go, like, what was your words? I'm torn with how to feel. Like, I've got this love right here that I should be happy for, but then I've got this despair and loss of my brother, which was my only brother, and that I couldn't help him, and that he didn't reach out. Now I don't have him. So I forget what your words were that you were using at the time, but it was very challenging to watch and not be able to obviously do anything. But that,
so that
day
was about
was,
5 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the
4th of November. So,
wow.
That's what I think, just to cap on what Dee was saying. Like, I think, yes, the events are amazing and you have massive shifts in UPW and Date with Destiny and everything like that. But I think it's actually what you get set up with for the future and for the rest of your life. It's not necessarily, like, don't get me wrong, you do have massive just breakthroughs in the course, but
energy and everything. Yeah.
It's actually what you get for the rest of your life, and the rest of the weeks after events for us is a whirlwind. Like every event that we do, whether it's Tony Robbins or anyone else, obviously Tony's is the biggest one, but like massive shifts and changes happen in our personal life, business life, like relationship, everything like that. And it's just, it's the flow on effect that you get from that immersion.
And one of the, I guess, tangible things is pretty much directly after Tony Robbins, we made a few pretty big decisions. Like, one was to sell our current business. So we straight away made action on that, and that's now sold, and that transition has gone through. Ooh. So, that was just last year we knew that we didn't actually commit to the process. So we made, I don't know why we made, the year before, but this time we were just like, no, we're selling the business, let's go. We made the phone call within 5 minutes to the broker and got it on, like got it onto being sold. So like that was one of our big decisions. And then we've since moved, we were house sitting and we were kind of house sitting all over the shop, and we just knew that we needed some sort of stability. So we went out and found a place to stay.
First, so we like to house sit because we don't obviously like to be in one place. We were liking going all different places and experiences. And then we found a place that we were going to settle and build out in Sydney somewhere. And then literally right after Tony Robbins, or was it right before? Right after Tony Robbins, I was literally about to start building. Like I had the materials ready to start building, and it was on the river. It was perfect. It was beautiful. And the council goes, after everything was approved, they're like, oh, no, you can't do it. You can't do it now. You can't do this, 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 which is what we needed to do. And I was like a dog with a bone. I was like, I'm not like, I make it work because I don't want to let my paradise go. Like I had to, I was bought into the dream of waking up on the water and everything like that. And it just wasn't working. And then, so that was before Tony Robbins that happened. And then after Tony, literally, I think it was 3 days later, I've just gone, you know what? That's okay. No worries. Move on. And I let it go. So I let the dream, like I let that go of building my perfect place on the water and everything like that. And
you wouldn't believe that we found a place on the water and we're boat access only. So literally the only way we can get home is to hop in our boat and go to our front door.
Is that where you are now?
That's where we are now. So we still got a beautiful, like when we were looking for somewhere to live, I was like, okay, I want to be on the water. I want to have a beautiful drive leading in because I don't want it to be suburbia. And it has to be modern and everything like that. And literally the first place that we looked at, the first place
was it.
And we called the agent on the way here and he goes, how many is there? Because I just need to figure out what boat I'm going to bring. He's like, what boat? He's like, boat access only. Like, and we're like, Dee's like, oh, okay. She told me, I'm like, we are not living on boat access only. Can you imagine in the winter when it's freezing cold and it's raining? It's not, no. But then we come and had a look and it was just absolutely 10 times better than what my dream was and my vision was for the place I was going to build. So,
and I think everything happens for a reason. And everything happens for a reason. Like there's a reason that we didn't build that house. There's a reason, I don't know what it is yet, that like my brother did what he did. Like there is a reason for everything, and you just need to find what's good in everything.
Yeah.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that story with me about your brother, and that's still not that long ago, so I understand you must still have those overwhelming sense of highs and lows, I'm sure, and something you're still processing. So thanks for that. And gave me goosebumps. And that must have been such a huge day for you both. Such highs and lows of emotions. And you know what? Something you said, Kane, really also hit me hard, and it's one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast, is that Tony's work isn't motivational. It's you're getting tools for the rest of your life, and you're also raising your standards of life. Even though after these events we might feel good for a few months and we're like on this high, even when we, you know, you come back down, you've already made so many incredible changes in your life that it's still better than things open up. And I hear a lot about people breaking up with their partners or finding
if a partner.
If that
happens, it's meant to happen.
Exactly. Whatever happens after these events is meant to happen.
Yeah.
And it just fills my heart with passion to keep going with these stories, to hear that you've been through something so intense. I could not imagine on the same day losing a sibling and giving birth to your daughter, and you had some tools to deal with that, and that's just incredibly, it's just life changing.
Yeah, I can't, like, it's really hard to articulate, I guess, but every time it comes up to an extra month with Amara, it's a permanent reminder of what we've been through, and I guess what happened, and like, just the driving me is to help people in this space. I don't know what that looks like yet, but that's definitely on my radar. And we said when Amara came into the world that she's such a healing soul, and I totally believe that she came into our lives and chose us because she was the right person to do the job that she had to do, basically.
To get you through your brothers.
I look at her every day and she's amazing. Mm.
Yeah.
So just another thing to talk about, I guess, self-awareness and everything like that. So we found out on the third, and it was literally Dee was just went into pretty much into proper like full labor around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and at 11:30 she was 6 centimeters, and then like literally at 12:15 she went from 6 to 10.
I said all along, I don't want her to be born on the same day.
Yeah.
So her body knew, and her body wasn't allowing her to do that because it was going to be a permanent reminder for the rest of her life. It wasn't going to be separate. And literally it was as soon as that 12 o'clock, I said, Baba, it's past 12 o'clock. And you just seen it let go. Like you just like, and it was crazy. Like it was hard. Like it was the hardest day of, it was the hardest day of my life having to do all those roles of, supporting and then being there to support the birth and everything like that, which didn't go anywhere near to plan, obviously, as it doesn't often do. But it was so much more amplified and harder for us because we weren't in a solid, strong mental space because we were wrecked. Like we hadn't eaten from 11 o'clock that day, like all day we hadn't eaten. It was so hard.
Plus you're dealing with these huge, I just couldn't imagine. But I mean,
we couldn't imagine that it would ever happen.
Yeah. And how old was your brother?
Younger brother. He was 33. He's younger. He's 33. So next month is his birthday. So I think that's going to be a challenging day. So I don't know what we're going to do to celebrate. Because that's what you want to do, I just believe everything happens for a reason, and it's funny because he did it over in India, and what ended up happening is we had booked a service, like his service, to happen on the 5th of December, and one of my last conversations with him was that I need to be home by the 5th of December. And inadvertently, I had the only spot they had available, or they had a couple of spots available, but I had inadvertently, and I didn't realise until the night before of his service, that we'd chosen the 5th of December for his service.
So like, he come home
on
the 5th.
That's how much, like, we just believe that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So I think the moral of the story is if bad shit is happening to you, have a look and ask yourself, why is this happening? What have I got to learn from it or grow from it? It is happening for a reason. What reason is that? If we can get to that level every single time, then the bad, negative, like pits that we're in won't seem so bad.
It's very hard.
And bring hindsight forward.
Yeah. Like one of Tony's quotes is, life's happening for us, not to us.
Yeah.
And look, that takes some serious strength to be able to have that perspective in such a difficult time. So well done to both of you.
I think sometimes you don't actually know what you're going to get out of it until you reflect later on.
If
you don't think about it now, I think probably the main thing that was were potentially meant to happen, obviously I don't know what will happen in the future, was that whole being grateful for the moment.
Like, yeah.
Being in the moment, being present with people, like telling the people that you love, like that are close to you, that you love them, and like asking people, like, are you okay? Like, have you ever had suicidal thoughts? Like, and like giving them time to just talk.
Like, people are scared to talk about it sometimes as well.
And that's a really hard question. You don't really want to ask.
Yeah. And I just think suicide is a huge issue in our society. And you said that you don't know, you want to sort of do some work in this space and you don't know how. I just want to say, like, at least 5,000 people will listen to this podcast, and you know, you never know. That's the thing with even with what I'm doing, I every time I do an episode, I just think if this can help one person, then it's worth it. And there might be one person listening tonight, or, you know, like, you never know. And just the strength that you've shown tonight to bring it up and talk about it is, just, I'm grateful for that. And, thank you.
I think
you're right. Like, gratitude is, to me, is everything. And that's one of the huge things that changed my life after, Tony Robbins, was just being grateful. Like, every morning I practice gratitude now, and it brings you back to you know, like good. You guys said, you've had some success in business, you've all of those things are great, but if you're not coming back to gratitude, then fulfillment will never be there. And I'm sure with what you've gone through, you have to find some gratitude, don't you?
Yeah.
It's hard not to be grateful when she's so gorgeous. And I know that every parent says that about their kid, but she literally is. And she smiles all the time, and she's got so much love. And like, it's just, it's gratitude is like literally through here with all the bad stuff that happened and how it happened. Like,
you must be so grateful. From her.
Yeah.
And Tony's work is just so powerful. And I think it's just a life-changing experience for everyone who goes, well, maybe not everyone. I mean, I don't know
if you're open to it.
Yeah.
If you're open to it, if you're wanting to go and you're wanting to get something from it, like, I'll say, don't, if you don't want, to change and you don't want anything to be different and you're happy with your life where you're at, like,
Don't go.
Like, if you're happy, if something's not broken, don't fix it. But if you want to even a little bit more or a lot more, then book in, pay the ticket, and literally your life won't be the same. Like,
it's worth some level.
Life will never be the same.
I've got my Firewalker shirt on. My daughter now recognizes, because I told her about the firewalking, and she knows this, that when I've got that shirt on, I'm feeling really pumped, or I need to feel pumped. So that's when I put it on. So I've put it on for tonight.
I said before we actually jumped on to speak to you, because we were trying to get Amara down for an hour and a half, I was like, Kane, say yes. Say yes. Make your move. Say yes.
That would keep your baby awake, I'm sure.
We just have to whisper it.
Yeah, that's it. I want to thank you both for jumping on. It's been incredible. Obviously, it's been fun and funny, but it's also been reflective and really deep as well. And I want to thank you for your time. I want to give you an opportunity to share what you do. I know you're in business together. I've seen a few things that you're doing at the moment, and I feel like you've got a big project going on at the moment. So did you want to share with my audience of 5,000 plus people what you do?
I'm sure we would love to share. So basically, we help aspiring business owners who want to launch their businesses and business owners who want to scale and automate their businesses and I guess take them to the next level. So we're looking at a couple of different ways to do that. So we're only just launching this business. So like I said before, we've had a couple of different businesses, but mainly Pole Fitness, and then we've got a couple of online and software solutions. But this one is probably one that we have just opened the doors on, which is amazing, and we're really excited about it.
Did you want to say anything else? So business is our passion, and we love business. Like any time that we can get into a conversation about business, like it just goes to the totally different levels. So I guess for us, we've been, I suppose, coaching and mentoring and consulting for a fair time, but on a really low one-on-one basis. So now I guess we said, all right, let's actually put it out there to more of the masses. And basically, if you have an idea of a business or something that you want to do and you don't want to have a job anymore, if you don't want to work and you have an idea for a business, then we can teach you how to launch that business in 6 weeks and be profitable from day one. That's all we've done with all of our businesses.
Or you'll figure out really quickly if the idea is not
going to work. Yeah.
So without actually developing the product, right?
Yes.
Our number one thing is sell it before you've built it.
Yeah.
So do not go and invest in a cafe, products, for example, or in products, or in building a big software or anything like that, until you know there's a market, until you know there's customers. Do not put money in it. Literally, for every business we start, we've had a bunch of things that have failed because we've literally just spent $300 on a website and run some ads. And if we didn't get anything, we just shut it down in like 3 days, 4 days, boom, gone. Next one. Because we don't attach to it. It's quick. It's done. There's no risk. And then you find the ones that float and the ones that go well. So so that's the launching, and then the scaling part. So if you have a business, obviously we've managed to scale our businesses to a point where we were able to then automate it and then step out of it.
Literally
we, in the last 6 months of the fitness studio, we spent 10 hours in that business from automation. Fully automated. It was awesome.
So you've had experience doing that yourself, and now this business is teaching others. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and or doing it for them.
We're actually looking at doing some partnerships with business owners at the moment. So I think that's probably our main priority, is getting on people that we actually really want to work with, who have an idea, and they want to put in the work, and then we're happy to kind of guide them and
do it with them. So Dee's an implementation queen. If you want anything done, like as soon as she's onto it, like before you've even finished talking about it, she's doing it. Like Tony, Tony's saying, do this exercise. She's already filling it out, the answers, before he's finished. So implementation is a big thing for Dee. So looking for some
good, I like your title,
deals. Implementation queen, you like it?
Yeah, I love that. You're going to take that on, Dee?
Yeah, he calls me that all the time. Like, I really struggle. I think that's one of my big things, is struggling with compliments. But
until now,
it definitely pushes me outside of that comfort zone. So
yeah.
Cool. But so where can people find you? What is it called?
So head over to launchscaleautomate.com, or just look for us on Facebook, Launch Scale Automate. And YouTube and
Instagram.
We'll be tagged in this post, no doubt. And get in touch if you have questions about scaling, automating, or launching. We're happy enough, literally, just to give you all of the answers and just tell you what to do free of charge. Like, it's not necessarily about the money. It's literally just about giving people the value and helping. And obviously, if we've given enough value and you want more, then talk more. But let us help you to start with and just give you all the answers and everything you need straight away.
Cool. Awesome. So I'll put any of those details for people listening on the podcast in the episode notes. So I've got a final question that I ask everyone on the show, and I'll get two separate answers, please, if that's possible. So if it was your time and you had to leave this world, and you were with your closest people, What piece of advice, guidance, or quote would you share?
I'll go first. Look at your stuff. Like, learn yourself. If you learn yourself, then the rest of your life will be 10 times, like 1,000 times easier, because you're able to identify when the bad stuff's happening. You're able to self-assess and regulate and everything like that. And life isn't hard then. Like, life is so much easier because you're able to work out what's going on. So my piece of advice, without a doubt, is emotional intelligence. Learn yourself first and foremost. And that is the biggest and most powerful thing I feel that anyone can ever do.
Yeah. Self-awareness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Self-awareness, self-development. Very cool. Thank you. Dee?
And I think this is probably one that's only recently obviously happened for me. And I think that's be grateful in times where you struggle to be grateful. So what can you take from this? Like, what is the good, or what good is happening now? Like, I think that really has helped me through some tough times. So
be present and grateful.
Yeah.